Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show on this Friday, November 12th. Appreciate you being here with us. Much to discuss today, including the end of the Rittenhouse defense, which is expected to happen today. We also have more on the New York City police and whether the incoming mayor is going to give them the backing they need to do their jobs. Perhaps create some momentum for law and order, not just in New York, but across the country. One city does well, others may follow suit. Inflation, still getting worse. The economy, not looking good. COVID numbers rising. And that's perhaps a perfect place to jump in today. You're going to notice something when you think about all these topics that Clay and I are going to discuss with you. And that whether it is the Rittenhouse case, which we'll get into more detail about in a moment here, but whether it's the story of Kyle Rittenhouse and is this self-defense or not, as you know, Clay and I firmly believe it is self-defense, but that's what's at issue here. Whether it's the Biden Build Back Better plan, what it would do to inflation, whether it's defund the police and what it would do, has done, to crime across America, and now COVID mitigation measures, vaccine mandates, and yet rising cases. All of these issues, you line them up, and the left is wrong. They just keep being wrong, and they don't care. The Russia collusion delusion, another one we've seen this week. The results are in. We've run the experiment. We now know that that was a fraud from top to bottom. We've known it for years, but now we have even further proof. And it never changes. The left doesn't ever move off of the initial narrative point. And let's go to the Kyle Rittenhouse case, for example. We've played for you many times here on the show now, people in prominent positions, whether in the media or celebrities, saying that Rittenhouse is a white nationalist, a white supremacist, a racist, a murderer, a killer, all these things. Anybody who has paid attention to this trial and seen the evidence knows this is a self-defense issue. There is not actually race involved in any capacity here. It's a white guy who shot three other white guys who were attacking him. There is actually not a racial narrative, but they keep trying to introduce a racial narrative. And what has also come out is that even at the very top level, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, weighed in. Last night on Fox News, Kyle Rittenhouse's mother, Wendy Rittenhouse, spoke to our own Sean Hannity about what Joe Biden did. This is the commander in chief weighing in on a local criminal trial, effectively. Play it.
I was in shock. I was angry. President Biden don't know my son whatsoever, and he's not a white supremacist. He's not a racist. And he did that for the votes, and I was so angry for a while at him. And what he did to my son, he defamed him.
Do you think your son has received a fair trial?
The judge is very fair. People that I talked to that lives in Kenosha all their lives, they told me that Judge Schroeder is a very fair judge, and he doesn't allow no nonsense in his courtroom.
Clay, the judge is now being called racist. You know, that's the media narrative.
Of course. This is shameful by Joe Biden, and I think it deserves more attention than it's received. Narrative over fact is driving our country apart in massive ways, Buck. Because there's a huge percentage of people in this Kyle Rittenhouse case that didn't even know the victims of the shooting were white. Because this kid was immediately labeled by people like Joe Biden, because it fits their narrative, as a racist, as a white supremacist. I mean, we wrote down, we played the audio from MSNBC and CNN as a murderer, as a school shooter, 17-year-old vigilante, domestic terrorist, deeply racist murderer. Joe Biden and people of his ilk. Well, I want to focus on Biden because I think it's significant as a lawyer. When you are in a position of power like Joe Biden, you should not be weighing in on justice-related issues before the juries and the prosecutors and the district attorneys and the defense attorneys have had an opportunity to actually make their case. If Joe Biden wants to weigh in at the end of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial after the jury has already rendered its verdict and disagree with it, that is his right. I don't think it's smart for presidents to be getting involved in individual cases, no matter what their substance is of a criminal nature. But the fact that he labeled this kid a white supremacist in an effort to further his narrative. Remember, Joe Biden launched his presidency predicated on a lie, Buck. The very fine people lie that still follows Donald Trump. The idea that after Charlottesville, Donald Trump labeled, as his critics would have it, and as most in the media would have it, Nazis, very fine people. That's not what he said. Joe Biden premised his entire presidential campaign on a lie, and he's continued to propagate lies throughout his tenure in office. And frankly, this is why so many people are getting red-pilled, Buck. I mean, people sometimes say, well, Clay, what in your life? You're a long time. You were 12 years old. You were like, you know, reading the conservative journals and everything else. Like, you're a lifelong conservative. That's you're born and raised. I'm not. I think there's a lot of people out there listening to us now who have been red-pilled by the dishonesty that they have seen from the media. And the Trump administration put me over the top in terms of looking at stories, researching them as a member of the media myself, and seeing the consistent levels of dishonesty from the media and outright lies and the way that it spread. And I saw it oftentimes, Buck, through the prism of sports, which scarily is even more left-wing and insane than our political realm.
You know, when we were
and it's so infuriating that finally I couldn't take it anymore. And I think there's lots of people, I would bet, listening to us, a huge percentage of people who are in my exact same position.
When we were talking right before the show, you said something, Clay, I thought was really profound. Because Clay and I are prepping for this show all that, you know, we're always texting and talking and in the breaks and at night and in the mornings, and, you know, we're always getting ready for this. You said, it's amazing how no one will ever admit that they've changed their mind. I'm not,
yes.
not even that they're wrong, right? That the W word might make people feel weird. Oh, no, I don't want to say I'm wrong. Nobody will even say these days, it seems, at least those who have platforms that in the public discourse, they've changed their mind
yes.
on something that they felt very, and you look, and this is something I want everyone to think about today. Kyle Rittenhouse, the media, the Democrat Party lied. Joe Biden lied about
yes.
this kid. And instead of saying, you know what, we misrepresented this trial, we got this wrong, they're saying the judge is racist. They're saying there are broader issues of race here that we need to have a discussion about. No, they were wrong. You see this with inflation. They've been saying for months, we won't make it worse. It's not going to get worse. We're going to spend a whole lot of money as Democrats, the Build Back Better agenda. You see this with defund the police and crime. We all know what happened there. And yet people won't come forward from the other side and say, okay, I still disagree with conservatives on a whole bunch of things, but on this one, they happen to be correct. I'm hoping, Clay, that in New York City, we may actually reach that point with this new mayor on crime. I'm hoping. I'm not
yes.
betting. I'm not
And maybe
certain.
Even on masking.
And maybe on masking, too. Another one. You know, I just got, we were joking around, I'm now throttled. I'm being punished by Twitter because I made a joke about how wearing a cloth mask is
Read
like...
that joke, by the way. It's the most tame thing compared to what we say, the anti-mask commentary that we have on this show, because we're straightforward and direct, that we believe that masking is a sham. There is no evidence to support that it is in any way helpful, period, right? We say that every day for months. You send out a tweet and the blue check brigade is furious at you. It's funny how certain things pop.
Oh, well, it's because it hits home because everyone who's being honest knows it's true. What I wrote on Twitter, for those who aren't on Twitter, it's stunning there are still so many people walking around with cloth masks on as though it will protect anyone from COVID. We're in an era of iPhones and SpaceX, but millions still obey mask superstition like medieval peasants terrified of the number 13. Okay, I'm having a little fun at their expense, but it's totally true. It's absurd. And now Twitter has officially locked that, so no one, because it went viral.
That's
and
crazy.
All these,
you can't, for people out there who aren't on Twitter, explain what they've done to you sharing that.
They've effectively locked it off so that no, they don't want more people to see it. They're not deleting it because they can't prove that it's false. but they say it's misleading. So they're limiting its reach by not allowing people to share, essentially like forward the email on. But so now what everyone's doing is screenshotting it on their phone and sharing it as though it were a photo and not a tweet. And so now there are blue checks who are pushing this around just as kind of a extended solitary finger in the direction of Twitter. But this just goes to show you, I mean, Clay, how could we even still be having this discussion? It couldn't be any more straightforward. I mean, forget about the theoretical masking benefits that people will talk about in laboratory studies where they'll do the droplets.
And within 95s as opposed to the random cloth mask that people are putting
folks,
on.
Folks, if a gas mask works, okay, we could maybe even decide that, which by the way, these things don't work like gas masks, not even close, but if you take it off, it stops working, and everyone's taking on and off their masks all the time, constantly, all the time. So even if theoretically a cloth mask would give you some benefit, it ceases to give you. You only have to get infected once, then you have COVID, right? It ceases to be a benefit for me. Think it through. The people telling you that this matters and is useful are crazy. It's not true. It doesn't work the way they tell you it does. And yet, Clay, it's because it is a superstition. My line about medieval peasants, the peasants are grabbing the pitchforks and the torches and they're upset at me.
No, I mean, it's true, and it's a form, and I hope, and we've talked about this quite a bit on the show, that in the years ahead, when we are no longer involved in the day-to-day COVID madness, and by the way, I'll point out, I don't know if you saw this, Buck, the New York Times morning email that they sent out, do you know what the headline was? How do we stop, like, basically, how do we land
Are you
the
waiting
plane?
For them to have the, how do we land the plane,
yes.
But not to attribute it to you, but.
Yeah, I saw it this morning and I thought, well, you know what? In the way that we have a lot of sneaky, listeners out there that don't want to acknowledge that they listen to the show, you know, like they might be liberal, they might have, friends that they don't want to know they're listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. This morning, the email the New York Times sent out, first thing I woke up to, how does this end? And the whole article is about, is it time to start moving back to normalcy? That's the whole thing. Like, how do we end it? How do we land the plane? The point I'm making here is a lot of what we've been saying for months and even years now is going to end up being the common conventional wisdom. Now, it's going to take a long time, and every single day, there's one more person, right? If you're out there listening right now and you're fed up with the whole way that America's being run, share the show with your friends. Because there's a lot of people who don't know we exist that will listen and they'll be like, I was told I was supposed to hate these guys. They're the most honest, fact-based people anywhere in radio. And over time, we win by rationality triumphing, which is why we spend so much time sharing actual facts. And among those facts, masks don't work. Social distancing doesn't work. Vaccine mandates are not going to work. All of these things are true. Now, there are people who are upset that they are true because they challenge the narrative and the conventional wisdom of the left right now. But eventually, facts win. I really believe that. And over time, people who advocated for all these lockdowns are going to look like people who said, I'm in favor of the Vietnam War. They're almost not going to exist anymore.
We're going to go through different areas today where the libs are wrong. That's going to be, if you're looking for an overarching theme, wrong on the economy, wrong on crime, wrong on Rittenhouse, wrong on masks. Oh, my. We're going to get into all of it. We've also got some great guests we'll tell you about in a moment. In the worst terrorist attack to ever take place on American soil, 2,977 people lost their lives. It was September 11th, 2001. But in the face of horror, brave Americans responded. Many even stepped forward to enlist in our armed forces. If you listened to our last hour yesterday, you heard one of them join us, the very brave Sergeant Rick Yarish. Since then, more than 7,000 U.S. soldiers have made the ultimate sacrifice. Those heroes were part of the War on Terror, America's response to 9/11. They fought for us, but never came home. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation honored those men and women who gave everything by reading their names aloud for the first time ever in a new annual ceremony. Tunnel to Towers is making sure their sacrifice is never forgotten. The foundation's season of hope runs from Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve. At least one mortgage-free home a day is being given away for 37 days to honor America's greatest heroes. Clay, how can people get involved and do their part?
It is incredibly easy. Listen to me now. Do it for the holiday season. Do it for the months ahead. Do it for the over 7,000 who lost their lives and made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. donate $11 a month at T2T.org. Again, it's super simple. $11 a month, T2T.org. Do it. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Friday edition of the program. Everything is racist is the default accusation of anyone who does anything that upsets in any way the Democratic Party. And right now, people are coming to the realization, Buck, that Kyle Rittenhouse is likely not going to be convicted. I would be very, very surprised if he's convicted of any substantial wrongdoing in this case in Kenosha, Wisconsin right now. So CNN is on the rampage, and one of the least intelligent men to have a television show in the history of mankind, Don Lemon, he said the Rittenhouse trial judge's demeanor is grounds for a mistrial. Listen to this.
Can we talk about this, Judge? He's ridiculous. His antics are absolutely ridiculous. And today, saying that someone who writes for a biased publication that has been favorable to Kyle Rittenhouse and that has spoken out against Black Lives Matter, that should not be brought in so that the jurors can't make up their own minds about what is biased and what is not and what is relevant and what is not, I don't think it works that way legally. That's cause for a mistrial. But certainly his demeanor, the way he speaks to the prosecution, the way he looks at Kyle Rittenhouse like as his grandson. I mean, come on, America. I don't see how anybody can say that this judge is not biased and is not leaning in a certain direction.
He was appointed by a Democrat. First of all, Don Lemon, going to him for analysis of anything, ever mind actual legal analysis, is a fool's errand. But this is just, we know what this is, Clay, because you're going to hear a lot of this today as well. We heard it in the last 24 hours. The left, there's a narrative here. It's actually not about the Kyle Rittenhouse case in terms of, is this a self-defense case? That's all this is. Yes or no? Did Kyle Rittenhouse shoot three people because they were attacking him and he was in incredible fear for his own safety? No, they want to make it about everything else, about BLM, about systemic racism, about a white vigilante. None of that is actually at issue in the case, really. And so what are they going to say when they're not going to get their way? Assuming they don't get their way, I don't want to, you know, get ahead of ourselves. The judge is racist, Clay. Oh gosh, so easy.
The Democrat-appointed judge, who is historically one of the most difficult judges anywhere in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to leniency towards defense attorneys. He's a former prosecutor, which, for those of you out there who are as unaware of the legal system as Don Lemon is, means that he usually tried to put people in jail, meaning his sympathies would typically lie with the prosecutors who he's been giving a hard time to. This judge has done nothing to suggest that there might be a mistrial. But what's wild here is Don Lemon doesn't even know what the legal standards for a mistrial are. And yet he's talking to his audience about a demand for a mistrial, which is just further spreading misinformation. What you got for us?
You know it, I know it. Our dollar is not as valuable as it once was, and it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. It's going to have the same effect on your savings account and your IRA, too. You protect that, though, by buying gold as part of your savings plan or within your retirement plan. Oxford Gold Group is the company I've relied on to help me buy gold and take physical possession of it. I have it in my home. The Oxford Gold Group made this easy. Understanding the value of gold, the purchase of gold, understanding it as an investment, they've made it all easy to grasp. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. They'll explain it all to you. You can have real gold delivered to your home just like I have had. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your hands at home or part of your IRA. That's the Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D. There may be no area Democrats are more obviously wrong and delusional in contemporary American political life right now than on the issue of crime and law enforcement. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We want to dive into this now for a second because the numbers are in. We can see it. You know it. You feel it all across the country. And while on the one hand, you have Democrats acting like anybody taking up arms in defense of themselves or a community under siege is horrible, the vigilantes, how dare anyone think that when the state refuses to defend them, they should defend themselves. And on the other, you look at what's going on in cities across the country, notably New York, but not just New York. I mean, I'm here in New York City, so it's always on my mind because crime is a local issue, right? Crime is something that you feel in your own neighborhood. There has been a move away from supporting law enforcement, a decision to coddle criminals, district attorneys refusing to push for more severe sentences for violent and repeat offenders. And we're all seeing the consequences of this. And it's playing out right now in New York. But just to give you a sense of it, because I was curious, we have a robust and a very appreciated audience, for example, in Houston, Texas. I pulled the numbers on this one, Clay. This was as of last month. There were 346 murders in Houston, which was a 28% increase over last year and a 74% increase over 2019. So 2020 saw 74% increase, and then this past year a 28% increase even over that. Massive increase in homicides. This is happening in places all across the country. Los Angeles, for our KEIB listeners out there, Los Angeles, Clay, is putting out now, the LAPD, warnings to people about a new crime trend of follow home robberies. People being targeted, usually because they have expensive jewelry on, followed to their home because people, obviously, a lot of them don't live in apartment buildings, they're going to be at a doorway or something and there's no one around, and being robbed right there, right on their own doorstep. And the LAPD is saying, well, don't resist, comply. You know, okay. You know, maybe if people could conceal carry, they'd feel a little bit differently. You know, the bad guys would feel differently about following you home into your driveway and trying to steal your watch and your wallet and your phone, right? We're seeing this play out. People are starting to wake up who aren't just on the right, people who are independents, people who are rational Democrats. And this is where you got to understand, BLM is a massive failure for the country when it comes to crime. The Democrat policies, the Soros-backed prosecutors, they've made everything worse. Here is New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams responding to that BLM co-founder, Hawk Newsom, earlier in the week, who said there'd be blood in the streets. Here's what the new mayor, soon-to-be mayor, says.
That's silly, and I think New Yorkers should not allow rhetoric like that. This city is not going to be a city of riots. It's not going to be a city of burning. If fringe elements want to hurl rhetoric like that, that's silly to New Yorkers. This city is ready to move forward. When I ran to become the mayor of the city of New York, I said I was going to reinstitute an anti-gun unit in plain clothes. Voters voted on that.
Clay? We back the cops, we enforce the law, we take back our streets. Pretty simple. It's like one of the Batman movies we're dealing with here.
Good for him for standing up to BLM. And by the way, how come more Democratic politicians aren't doing that? If the media was doing its job, Buck, every single New York politician would be directly asked, Chuck Schumer, AOC, all of them, Black Lives Matter New York has threatened that if plainclothes police officers are brought back to the service in New York City, that they are going to make sure that the city burns and that there are mass riots. What is your position on that direct statement made by Black Lives Matter? Do you support their rioting if plainclothes police are put back into the streets? That should be a question that every single politician in the state of New York should be asked. And I give credit to Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York City, for addressing it directly and saying, basically, that's not going to happen. And I'm reflecting the will of the voters. This is why elections matter, right? He said, I'm going to bring back plainclothes police. He knows, a former member of the New York police, the impact. Buck, you know, you can talk to it directly because of your past experience. You know how important those guys are to limiting the overall rate of crime. And so this is where you should have to answer. How often do we hear, Buck, just think about it. Every time anybody who was in the wingnut battalion of the Republican Party said something crazy, every Republican leader would get asked about it within 5 minutes. Every single time, right? I don't even remember the guy in Iowa who lost his seat, had a lot of borderline racist things that he said. Every time that he said it, every Republican would get asked about it. How come the media doesn't hold Democrats accountable for what the leadership of Black Lives Matter says, particularly in New York? That's the job of the media. And Eric Adams handled that question and answered it well, but I want to hear what AOC has to say. She's been in favor of defunding the police. Is she in favor of riots if plainclothes police come back? She should have to answer.
There are some political disputes that can feel very theoretical to people. When we're talking about, for example, a foreign policy issue. You know, right now, Russia has some military exercise going on the border of Ukraine. People are concerned. Okay, but unless you're active duty military or your family members are, and you're worried about the U.S. getting directly involved in some way, that can feel very theoretical to people. What's going on in Russia, Ukraine? People following you home and putting a gun to your head or pulling a knife out, putting it to your throat, who have been already, in many cases, arrested dozens, perhaps over 100 times, and who prosecutors have decided, oh, for social justice reasons, we don't want to get too harsh.
Like the Kenosha, Wisconsin guys who got shot. Like the guys who got shot in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, of course. The guy with the multiple
rap sheets.
Multiple child, he raped children. He raped, underage people. But when you're chased home and you're robbed, all this feels very real to you. And so when you have a prosecutor who's saying, well, because of the history of systemic racism in this country and law enforcement and you actually just want to not be attacked by anybody. Nobody wants to be attacked by any criminal element at their home, anywhere in their city or their town across the country. This is becoming real to people. They're seeing it. They feel it. And they know that things are worse because of a narrative that the Democrat Party adopted to try to help get out the vote in an election year to undermine Donald Trump in 2020. The BLM riots, they were supportive of this. Cities were in upheaval. And the Democrat media was acting like the good people were the ones who were trying to tear down buildings, light them on fire, and attack people in the streets who were standing in their way. There are consequences to this. Why are some societies so much more lawful than others? Right. I mean, just for example, you go south of our border, Clay. I mean, I remember speaking to the U.S. ambassador to Mexico about this a few years ago, and he said that there's about a 95% chance that a criminal in Mexico will not be prosecuted.
Right.
It's about a 95% chance. Why? Why is that? It's just the way that society functions, the perception of the citizenry, the ability of the cops and the prosecutors. It's all based on ideas. We had been pushed by the radical socialist left in this country under the Democrats, under their leadership, to abandon core issues of law enforcement and law and order. And we now suffer the consequences we have for a long time. I mean, just the numbers I read about Houston, right? I mean, our audience at KTRH, they know it's outrageous what's going on. It's true in New York. It's true across the country. It has to stop, Clay. Now we have to tell Democrats, you guys were wrong. Now let's all get on the same page and enforce the law.
Chesa Boudin in San Francisco, where things have really gone out of control, Buck, subject of a recall, may end up losing his power there in order to make any decisions before all is said and done. And by the way, if we've learned anything since 2020, and we've learned a lot, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black invented Texas Superfood. It's the original superfood. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. Dr. Black wants you to know your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with, which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of us don't. So, Buck, what should people do to help get healthier?
If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in. Final segment, hour one. I want to remind you, go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single moment, no matter where you are across this great country or around the world. Morgan Ortegas, by the way, giving you a roadmap of where we're headed. We're about to take a couple of your calls. Morgan Ortegas, she was on The View. We played the clip earlier this week as she went after Adam Schiff. It was pretty fantastic. We'll discuss that along with the Russia collusion implosion, in particular the Steele dossier and how major media outlets are dealing with all the lies that they spread surrounding that story. And then In the final hour of the program, we'll have Selena Zito. She brings a lot of analysis and perspective, often overlooked by the mainstream media. Those are our guests as we roll through the Friday edition of the program. Buck, who you got? Who's ready to talk to us?
Some calls lined up. Remember, it is Open Line Friday, folks, so we're leaving them open the whole show. 800-282-2882 on those lines. 800-282-2882. Bob in Houston, Texas, has some thoughts on the criminal justice system down there. What's up, Bob?
Hey, man. I just wanted to lay something on you about our criminal justice system. We've got 16 criminal district courts here in Harris County. How many of them do you suppose are manned or, benches are occupied by Democrats?
I bet almost
a
all,
high,
if not
a high
all.
Percentage.
Yeah.
Every single one. Every single one. Our county judge, Harris County has a judge. Most cities have a mayor. Our county judge, Lena Hidalgo, she's in her late 20s. She is a Democrat. Kim Ogg, our district attorney, Democrat.
Well, look, I think what's going to have to, sorry to cut you off, but I think what's going to happen, Harris County and the Houston area, all over this country, is Democrats are going to have to acknowledge that defund the police failed and that going soft on crime has real consequences, and that is that innocent people end up being victims of criminals. Remember, Joe Biden was one of the stalwart defenders of Bill Clinton's three strikes and you're out initial bill that helped to drive down crime before he repudiated it as a part of his
campaign. Isn't it amazing?
Now.
The one thing that he did that now you would say, well, hold on a second, that actually was the right thing. Now he won election by pretending that that was a mistake because that's what
right.
The Democrat Party was at the time. Bob, thanks for calling in from Houston. Jim in North Carolina. What's up, Jim?
Well, I wanted to let you know, my wife and I, both natives of L.A. County, we moved away from L.A. County 4 years ago because of radically high taxes and radical overreach by the government. But with what you were saying with the concealed carry where people would follow people home out in L.A. County, that's what happens. But unfortunately, the sheriff out there, unless you personally know him or have contributed thousands of dollars to his campaign, you're not going to get a concealed carry permit. And that was one of the things first things I did when I moved to North Carolina.
Yeah,
well, let me
tell
you this. It's the same in New York City. And Jim, thank you for calling in from North Carolina. Same thing here. You can only get a concealed. Now, this is going to the Supreme Court. And I'm hopeful the Supreme Court is going to say this has to do with whether the right to bear arms outside the home. We've already established with DC v. Heller the right to have a weapon in your home. But, you know, to possess. But because there were places that effectively made that impossible, too. Chicago, D.C., but Clay, they may change, the Supreme Court may weigh in here in such a way that you have to at least allow either concealed carry or open carry for people who are otherwise lawfully permitted to have a firearm. And that would be a momentous decision because right now in New York City and the same in Los Angeles, I'm sure it's the same in a bunch of other blue Democrat cities, less so in Texas because, you know, the state of Texas, but in other blue states, it's concealed carry is for the privileged and the connected, the very privileged and connected. And that just goes to show you what a sham the whole thing is, right? Who has a better right to defend themselves than other people as a citizen of this country? Why should any person based on their connections or their wealth be more at risk from crime than other people? That's the problem.
Well, and this goes to the ultimate drive people insane hypocrisy of the defund the police political movement. Most of the people who advocated most aggressively to defund the police paid for their own private security hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to have someone to make sure that they are protected. How in the world can you argue that the quote unquote regular people need less police protection, but you yourself individually are so important and so high and mighty that you deserve to have your own private security force? That hypocrisy, Democrat, Republican, Independent, is awfully difficult for people to get past.
And think about it this way. If you're, let's say you live in a place like New York City or LA or any number of other states out there where this is an issue. You know, I was just out in Wisconsin. I don't know what Wisconsin laws are on this. But let's say you can have a gun in your home, but you can't take it with you anywhere.
Yeah.
So then you're allowed to defend yourself, but only in your home.
And which is why people are getting robbed before they get into their house, because the criminal element knows that most people who are not going to be carrying a gun, right?
Yeah, people are robbed out and about all the time. So if you have a right to defend yourself, why does that right stop the moment you leave your home? It makes no sense. It also obviously has no impact on if somebody wants to go commit a crime, they have the gun at home. They don't care they're breaking the law by leaving their home with that gun at that point, right? So you already have possession of it. So why shouldn't a person be able to carry it with them lawfully? Whether it's, you know, open or concealed carry depends on the jurisdiction. And I wonder how the Supreme Court's going to weigh in on that specifically, right? Some places, I mean, I think concealed carry is better because you actually then have the additional, and John Lott in his book, More Guns, Less Crime, has detailed statistical analysis of this. When some people, Clay, and by the way, a place like Tennessee, I'm sure you can conceal carry in Tennessee, right? So people walking around Nashville, if bad guys want to come up behind you and rob you in your home, if people can conceal carry. They don't know. Maybe you conceal carry, maybe you don't. Well, that creates a kind of halo effect of safety for everybody else.
That's right.
So that's why it really is meaningful, especially against violent crime.
Well, and that's why, frankly, a lot of women, this is the thing that is blowing. I'm sure there's a ton of women who are listening to us right now. The number of women who have been getting concealed carry permits has skyrocketed all over the country as crime has been increasing because they're learning how to use weapons and they want to be able to protect themselves from violent criminal elements.
Yeah, it's the most single effective thing. I mean, if you have to defend yourself in a forced situation, having a firearm, you know, yeah, pepper spray is nice. A firearm doesn't mean you have to shoot, just means you have it. And if you need to draw it, you can. Much more effective for that situation. We have the former State Department spokesman under Mike Pompeo and the Trump administration, Morgan Ortega. She had a great moment verbally slapping around Adam Schiff earlier this week on the Russia collusion delusion. We'll get her to weigh in on that and much more coming up here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Everybody, stick around with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.